جانبه قبر پیامبر جایی زغم کوبم به دیوار بندیشم سر میکشم در جست جویش من به هر دن آخر کجا هستید بدون مظلوم مادر آخر کجا بگو مظلوم مادر آخر کجا
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لبشريته انتقاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأصول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام من عرف فاطمة حق معرفتها فقد أدرك ليلة القدر صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد
Our taziyat to the Imam of our time Al-Imam Al-Hujjat ibn Hussain Waliyu al-Asr صاحب الزمان عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وعليه الصلاة والسلام on the event of commemoration of the shahadat of his great grandmother. He is actually the Sahib al-Aza and he is actually the Bani, the Muassis, the organizer of the majlis for his great grandmother and all the majalis al-aza for Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha are actually as a matter of fact held under the supervision of Imam Sahib al-Zaman. We should pay our taziyat to him for being the not just from the lineage of this great lady who is the greatest lady of the universe but also a person who considers himself under the walayat of Hazrat Zahra which is more important of an issue. Because when someone comes and asks Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, says to the Imam, our sixth Imam, that you are the son of Imam Ali alayhi salam. That means he was trying to say that your sharaf, your fadilat, your superiority is already there because you are born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you the son of Imam Ali. You are from his lineage, so that's your superiority. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replies back that wilayati lahu afdal min wiladati minhu. That means me believing in the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is superior than me being born with his lineage. Salawat. Believing in the walayat and obedience towards
the concept of the walayat is way more important issue than being born into their nasl. Isn't that right? So we have some of the people like Zayd ibn Nar. He was the brother of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Isn't that right? He's the son of a ma'soom and the brother of a ma'soom. And when Zayd ibn Nar got off the track, away from the Siratul Mustaqim, away from the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, and we find that once he met Imam Ridha alayhi salam somewhere and he said salam to our eighth Imam, and Imam alayhi salam did not reply back to his salam. And he said, I'm your brother, you're not even replying back to my salam. And Imam Ridha alayhi salam replies, Anta akhi ma ata'ta Allah. You are my brother as long as you obey Allah. فَإِذَا أَنْتَ عَصَيْتَ اللَّهِ فَلَا إِخَاءَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ. When you disobey Allah, when you sin Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no brotherhood between me and you. So the real tawajjuh and attention being a mu'min, believer in the walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, the real tawajjuh and attention that we mu'mineen need to focus on is the fact that we are blessed to have the walayat of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. That's the real tawajjuh and focus of attention. Being born from her lineage is a sharaf, is very good. But that's not the most superior aspect. Salman Farsi was never born in the lineage of Bani Hashim, isn't it right? Instead, he was born into the parents of Kufar. But Salman Farsi reaches a level that when Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is marrying Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, we find the mihar, the zimam, the reins of the animal that Hazrat Zahra is riding on the occasion of her marriage, the reins of that animal are in the hands of Salman. So Salman is walking ahead and holding the rein as a servant of Hazrat Zahra, as a ghulam and slave of Hazrat Zahra, and holding this zimam and reins of that animal and walking and in front of that animal. That's the sharaf of believing in the walayat of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. That sharaf doesn't happen for everybody. So what is more important is to understand the concept of her walayat. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said that nahnu hujjatullahi alal khalq. We are the hujjats of Allah on the creatures. Wa fatimatu hujjatuhu alayna. And Fatima alayhi salam is his hujjat. That means Allah's hujjat upon us. So 11 of our imams are under the hujjiyat, under the walayat of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. This is a lot of sharaf. Is something which is unthinkable for us. So we find when you name your person, one person named his daughter to be Fatima. And then he came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and informed her. Right now, unfortunately, we find that some of the people are naming their sons or daughters in the name of weird names, which have no ma'naviyat, no meaningfulness. Just because it sounds good. Just because the kuffar will call my son or daughter in such and such accent, such and such way. So for the sake of facilitation of the kuffar, we can name the son of the daughter with those weird kind of names. This is insult of the soul of a human. This kind of behavior is like insulting the ruhaniyat, the soul of that son and daughter who is a believer in the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So it's part of the job of the father in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He says, Haqqul walad ala walidihi. The right of the child on the father. An yuhassina ismahu. To give him a good name. Wa yuhassina adabahu. Teach him the good morals. Etiquettes, adab, akhlaq, morals. In other words, wa yu'allimahu al-Qur'an. and teach him Quran. That's the job of every father. If a son and daughter does not know how to read Quran, the father is liable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the children in Islam belong to the father. The prime responsibility of Islamic spiritual upbringing is on the neck of the father, and second of all on the neck of the mother. So it's the job of the father to give him a good name in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this person named his daughter with the most Mubarak name, which is Fatima. And we did discuss about the asbab and hikam, some of the wisdoms which we learn in the light of the various ahadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, why Hazrat Zahra has been named, why Hazrat Fatima had been named Fatima. We did discuss that in the last night, and I'm not going to repeat that. So this person named his daughter with the name Fatima, and then he came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said that I have named my daughter as Fatima. Imam alayhi salam said, Ama idha samaytaha Fatima. In other words, now that you have named her Fatima, فَلَا تَسُبَّهَا وَلَا تَلْعَنْهَا وَلَا تَضْرِبْهَا. Don't use abusive word for her. Don't send your la'nat or curse towards her. وَلَا تَضْرِبْهَا. And don't hit her. This is the azamat of that name itself that we learn in the light of the hadith. You know, that this name itself has so much azamat and greatness in the eyes of Allah that we are not supposed to start, you know, using foul language towards our own daughter just because of the respect of the name Fatima. How much respectable she is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of the Ahlul Bayt. Our Urafa say that talking about Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha is sahlun mumtani. Sahlun mumtani is a terminology which is frequently used in various sciences of the Hausa. When you're talking about falsafa, you're talking about irfan and other, you know, some of the complex sciences. So this is a very frequently used term in the istilah of our teachers of the Hausa. And this is used when something is deceptively simple. It seems to be very simple, but when you enter into the subject, then you discover that it was so complex that you never thought it was that complex. So discussing about Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is seemingly simple, but as soon as we enter into the subject, we realize how complex the discussion is. When you hear this hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech from Tafsir al-Furat, Furat al-Kufi, which is considered by our Urafa to be one of the, you know, Sharif, one of the noblest books of Islam. For those who care about the walayat and muhabbat of Ahlul Bayt, for the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, one of the noblest of the tafsir in the history of Islam is Tafsir of Furat al-Kufi. We have 1200 plus volumes of Tafsir of Quran, which has been written in 12 centuries of Islamic history. But some of the tafsir, some of the interpretations are really iconic and symbolic. So in Tafsir Furat al-Kufi, this hadith has been narrated that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Man arifa Fatimata haqqa ma'rifatiha. Whoever recognized Fatima, haqqa ma'rifatiha. That means in the proper way, in the complete and fullest in-depth way of understanding and recognizing her. So you fulfill the haqq and right towards her on your neck. In other words, anyone who has that sort of shanakht, in Farsi we say shanakht, Arabic we say ma'rifat, the in-depth understanding of the personality, faqad adraka laylat al-qadr. That person has found the laylat al-qadr. So it's not an easy discussion. It deserves to be said about that, this kind of discussion, that her discussion is sahlul mumtani, seemingly simple, but it is extremely complex in the inside. So we find, you know, Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is the most beloved personality in the eyes among the men We cannot find any person more beloved in the eyes of Rasulullah other than Imam al-Muttaqeen wa Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He is the most beloved person in the eyes of Imam Ali, in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we find that when when the Prophet went on Mi'raj, and when he returns back from Mi'raj, and it was asked from the Holy Prophet, بِأَيِّ لِسَانٍ خَاطَبَكَ رَبُّكَ لَيْلَةَ الْمِعْرَاجِ, in what lisan, in what tongue your Lord talked to you in the night of Mi'raj? And Prophet replies back, خَاطَبَنِي بِلِسَانِ عَلِيٍ. It means Allah talked to me in the lisan, in the tongue of Ali. And then Prophet says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically, in other words, Allah said that لَوْلَاكَ أَنَا شَيْءٌ لَيْسَ كَالْأَشْيَاء, I am a thing unlike the rest of the things. لَا أُقَاسُ بِالنَّاسِ, I cannot be compared to the humans. وَلَا أُصَفُ بِالشُّبُهَاتِ, nor can I be described by the imaginations of the mind. In other words, خَلَقْتُكَ مِن نُورِي, I created you from my light, my noor. وَخَلَقْتُ عَلِيًّا مِن نُورِكَ, and I created Ali from your noor. اِتَّلَعْتُ عَلَى سَرَائِرِ قَلْبِكَ, I'm aware about the hidden realities of your heart. فَلَمْ أَجِدْ فِي قَلْبِكَ أَحَبَّ مِنْ أَلِيٍّ, I did not find anyone in your heart more beloved than Ali. فَخَاتَبْتُكَ بِلِسَانِهِ, so I addressed you with the lisan of Ali. كَيْمَا يَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبُكَ, so that your heart becomes mutmain. Please say salawat. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hosting the highest personality, the most beloved messenger, the highest human he ever created. This is, when you have received a guest in your place, this is not part of the Islamic etiquettes and adab, that we present a food, we do a treatment, we behave towards our guest in a way that I like. No. The Islamic etiquettes say you provide something that your guest likes. Ignore what you like. Isn't it right? Even in the adab of marriage, we have the hadith. A husband is not supposed to enforce his likeness over his wife. The hadith says that al-mu'minu ya'kulu, Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam has said, al-mu'minu ya'kulu bishahwati ahlihi, a mu'min eats according to the likeness of his family. Wal-munafiq ya'kul ahluhu bishahwatihi, whereas a munafiq, a hypocrite, is the one whose family eats according to his likeness. So that's not part of the adab and etiquettes of Islam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that a husband forces his likeness on his wife. Actually, it's the sign of a mu'min that he lets his wife, eat what she likes. Doesn't force his likeness. In terms of the adab of hosting a wife, that's not the subject of my speech to talk about that. It's an elaborate subject. But just discussing one thing which is related to our discussion, that adab and etiquettes of Islam about hosting a guest inform us that you do what your guest likes, not what you like. Because you are hosting somebody and you have to take care of his likeness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that occasion of Mi'raj is taking care about what his guest Rasulullah is liking. And Allah look into the qalb, into the heart of Rasulullah, and he says that he found no one more beloved than Ali alayhi salam. That's the reason he's talking to Rasulullah in the lisan and tongue of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So this is the greatness of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This shows how much azim, the same Rasulullah who never used to pay attention to anyone or anything other than Allah in his entire life. That's how Rasulullah was. So when the time of adhan used to come, Prophet, instead of saying to Bilal, Azzin, say the Adhan. What did the Prophet say to Bilal? Prophet said to Bilal, Arehna ya Bilal. Comfort us. Mara rahat kunid, eh Bilal. Comfort us, O Bilal. Instead of saying to Bilal, say the Adhan. What did the Prophet say? Comfort us, O Bilal. Why? Because when Bilal will stand up and say the Adhan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be mentioned. And zikr and remembrance of Allah used to provide comfort and rahat to the qalb and soul of the Holy Prophet. How much he is attached to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same Rasulullah who is not even ready to pay attention to anyone or anything other than Allah, the most beloved person in his qalb is no one else but Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is another burhan and unshakable evidence that Imam Ali alayhi salam's love is exactly equal to loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To anyone who loves Imam Ali alayhi salam is actually loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is the most beloved person among all the men in the eyes of Rasulullah. But when it comes to the woman, we find the most beloved person in his eyes is Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. Please say salawat. So she is that much beloved. Every time when, this is the hadith from Ummul Mumineen Aisha, narrated from her, this riwayat. She says, whenever Fatima alayhi salam used to come, qama ilayha, Prophet used to stand up towards her, wa rahaba biha, and he used to welcome her, wa ajqabbala yadaha, Prophet used to kiss her hand, wa ajlasaha fi majlisihi. And used to make her sit on his place. The place of Rasulullah is the mansa, is the place of the risalat of Rasulullah. No human has the right and authority to sit on the place of Rasulullah other than a person who is either the wasi or khalifa or the person who stands for the extension of the walayat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So no one has the right to sit in the place of Rasulullah other than Imam Ali alayhi salam or Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. Please say salawat. So we find that she is the child of a prophet who went for the ibadat and special worships of Allah in the cave of Hira. For 40 days, 40, away from the rest of the society, doing his special worships. And Hazrat Khadija salamullahi alayha, on the other hand, was doing her worships inside her house. And after the 40 days, the special food from paradise is sent by Allah. When we go to Medina, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and blessing to visit all the atabat and maqamat al-muqaddasa and do the ziyarat of all the holy graves. We find when we read in the ziyarat of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, we say to her, tufahat al-firdaus wal-khuld. Isn't it right? التي أشرفت شرفت مولدها بنساء الجنة وسلك منها أنوار الأئمة. Isn't it right? We say in the ziyarat of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. So you are basically, we say to Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, in other words, you are the apple, tufaha. You are tufahat al-firdaus wal-khuld. You are the apple of firdaus and the paradise which is called khuld, eternity. So there's an apple brought for the Holy Prophet. And that's what he consumed. And that's where we find Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha getting born. So she's tufahatul firdaus wal khuld. This is the azamat of Hazrat Zahra. So that kind of daughter who is raised in an environment of isar. See, if we give away something that we have to others, and we also use what we keep, what we need for ourselves, and give what is more than our need to others, this is very good. This is called You know, sadaqa, charity, you know, sakhawat is way afdal and superior in the knowledge science of Islamic morality. The science of his morality, Islamic morality, teaches us the sakhawat is higher. Why? Because the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, As-sakha'u ma kana ibtida'an. Sakhawat, generosity, is what you initiate. Ma kana ibtida'an. Amma ma kana an mas'alatin fa haya'un wa tazammum. Now, if you end up giving to somebody after that somebody begs you, asks you for help, this is not called sakhawat and generosity in the science of Islamic morality. This person is not generous, not sakhi. If he was generous, he would have moved forward and give away what he has without that person coming and making himself embarrassed in front of this guy, extending his hand and asking for help. As soon as we know that some mu'min needs our help, our Islamic obligation says, go and help the mu'min brother. Without him coming to you and begging in front of you and, you know, kind of insulting himself and making himself embarrassed. So sakhawat is always without the person asking you. If you give after he asked, this is called haya wa tazammum. You are protecting yourself from sharm and haya, and instead of and attracting condemnation for yourself. So avoiding getting condemned, avoiding having embarrassment. This is not so called sakhawat. Sakhawat is always initiated by you. But we are discussing not about sakhawat. We are discussing about isar, another value of Islamic morality, which says that you ignore what you stand in need for yourself and you give tarjih and preference to the needs of others over your own needs. Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is a child who is born in the family of Isar. Yusiruna ala anfusihim walau kana bihim khasasa. Quran says they give preference over their selves, although it causes deficiency for their own selves. In other words, she's born in the family of Isar, giving away, you know, and ignoring their own needs. Isn't it right? يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. The only reason we are feeding you is for the sake of wajh of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً. We don't need no reward from you. وَلَا شُكُورًا. Nor thankfulness, nor thanking, in other words. You know, one of the teachers in the Hausa was saying that when you give some gifts to somebody and that person says, you know, thank you very much, you gifted that to me, and there are some people who say, well, no, that's fine, iltimas-e-dua, you know, that means if there are some people who, when they say iltimas-e-dua at that occasion, what their niyat is, I don't need no reward from you except that you just pray for me. This teacher of the house, I was saying, don't say that. Asking iltimas-e-dua is very good in Islam for a moment, but not at that time with that niyat, that if in your niyat you say iltimas-e-dua, that means you are making only the dua as the reward of your gift. I need no reward from you except that you do dua for me. Then you are settling for less. Because the sawab in the eyes of Allah for you gifting a gift to a mu'min was way higher than his dua for you. And now you are settling for less. You can ask for iltimas dua at some other occasion. Not with that niyat to make it a reward of your gift. Look at the azmat of the Islamic value system. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, when they give away, innama nut'imukum li wajhi Allah, la nuridu minkum jaza'an wa la shukura. We don't need no reward, we don't need no gratefulness, thanking. That's the way they are, in other words. So they are just doing it for the sake of wajhullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is born in the family of Isar. Imam Ali al-Islam, when he wrote the letter to Muawiyah, he says that, which I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my own words, he says that you people have kept us for 3 years. You know, in the Shi'b of Abi Talib alayhi salam, when the Banu Hashim were kept in the desert, an all-inclusive embargo from the upper elite rich guys of mushrikeen, big shots of Makkah, putting a ban and putting embargo. Anybody, no one can enter into any trade with the Banu Hashim. Isn't it right? This is the punishment of Tawheed, for propagating Tawheed. So the punishment for standing for the walayat of Allah and challenging the walayat of the Taghut Abu Sufyan. So Imam Ali is mentioning in his letter to Muawiyah, you guys kept that for 3 years in that situation, in other words. And our elderly people, their skin dropped. You know, when you get burnt in the burning heat of the desert and there is no shelter on the top of your head, obviously your skin gets burnt and removed. You remove, one skin of yours drops out of burning. And our children died, he says. And the women, they were screaming. Obviously, they were feeling the pain. So in that kind of environment of Isar, Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is raised in that kind of family. So this kind of daughter is full of Isar in her life. She learned that from her household, from her father, from her mother, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that she deserves to get the treatment which Allah provides for her. The treatment Allah provides after the Shahadat of Rasulullah, the angel is sent. The angel used to talk directly to Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, which shows the highness and azamat of her soul. She's entitled to receive the angel directly on her qalb. Isn't that right? So we find, and this angel is talking to her. So that's why we call her one of the 9 alqab and titles which I mentioned in last night's majlis is Al-Muhaddasa. That means the audience of the angel, where the angel used to do tahdith. Tahdith in Arabic means talking to somebody. So she was talked to. She was the audience and mukhataba of the angel. An angel was dictating, was telling her things on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she's dictating to Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, and that's how Mushaf of Fatima is formed. Which our imams were feeling proud of having Mushaf of Fatima with them. That information is unavailable anywhere else. And this is not the information about halal and haram. It's already there in the Holy Quran. This is information of the hawadis, of the events which are going to happen, you know, in the future. So we find that bi imla'i Zahra wa bi khatti Aliyin. It is with the dictation of Hazrat Zahra and the handwriting of Imam Ali alayhi salam. What a beautiful book. And it's the sign, we have 31 signs of every imam. We recognize the ma'soom imam with those 31 signs. And one of those 31 signs of recognizing a ma'soom imam is that he has Mushaf of Fatima with him. Anyone who can claim, any human who can claim, I am the imam of the time, isn't it right? I am the commander-in-chief of the universe on behalf of Allah. Fine, show us the Mushaf of Fatima. Do we have the Mushaf of Fatima with you? So we find that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is prepared about the rebellion, about the uprising, about the situation that he faced from Zanadiqa. Zindiq people who have nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is all well prepared to face the challenge from that community. So 120 years now we find he knows, because he has Mushaf of Fatima with him. Because Mushaf of Fatima is informing Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about the happenings in the universe. What is going to happen here on earth? So we find, he's prepared, he's doing the cultural revolution, spreading the culture of Quran in the community. So we find Imam is prepared. 4,000 students are studying at one time in the Hawza of Medina, which is the first Hawza of Islam, established by Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, 4,000 students. This is a great service that Imam alayhi salam, one of the great services of his time. But here is again, when we discuss the issue of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam propagating the religion, we are also forced to come to the to say mention this point as well, which is the sad aspect of the situation, that the same Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who has 4,000 students studying from him at a moment in the history, the same Imam Sadiq alayhi salam didn't have 16 trustworthy companions to rely upon. So when Sudair As-Sayrufi, one of the notable personalities in the history, one of the followers of the Imam, comes and says to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that why don't you do the Qiyam and uprising? We have so many Shias who are ready to follow you. And Imam Sadiq did not reply to the question of Sudair As-Sayrufi intentionally. Then he says after a while, he didn't receive any reply for the Imam for that question. There we stood up. We went outside in outskirts of the city of Medina into the desert. The time of prayers arrived. Imam alayhi salam started his prayers. And when we were done with praying, then he pointed towards the herd of sheep in the desert. And he says, لَوْ كَانَ لِي شِيَعَةٌ, if I have Shias, followers, equal to the number of this much sheep, in other words, which are available in this herd of sheep, مَا وَسَعَنِي الْقُعُودِ, it is not okay for me to stay sitting, to be sitting. So Imam alayhi salam, it's not okay for him not to do the Qiyam if he has this much supporters available. And Sudair As-Sayrufi, Kitab al-Kafi informs us, one of the four mother books of our hadith, Sudair As-Sayrufi says, I counted exactly the number of sheep available in that herd of the sheep, and it was 16. So that's the situation of the Shia community. Because there are people who are separating religion from politics. Because there are people who are considering the Ahlul Bayt to be their religious leaders only, not their political leaders. I'm sorry to say, that's a bitter reality. When we are talking about the walayat of Hazrat Zahra, we must understand this aspect. We have to understand this aspect so we don't give a hard time to the Imam of our time, you know, Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salatu wassalam. The same Hazrat Zahra, when Prophet asked the question, Ma khayrun lin-nisa, what is the best for the women? None of the Ashab in the Masjid were able to answer that question correctly to the Prophet. None of them can answer. So finally, when the question reached to the ears of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha, look at the answer that she gives. She gives the answer, خَيْرٌ لِلنِّسَاءِ أَنْ لَا يَرَيْنَ الرِّجَالَ وَلَا يَرَاهُنَّ الرِّجَالُ. The best for the woman is they don't see the men and men don't see them. Sadaqat Sayyida Zahra salamullahi alayha. Certainly he said the truth and nothing but the truth. No power on earth can challenge what Hazrat Zahra has said. So we find the same Hazrat Zahra who says that خَيْرٌ لِلْمَرْأَةِ أَن تَلْزَمَ قَعْرَبْ. Of course we know the Maraji have allowed for the women to work in their workplaces. We know that by protecting their hijab with the permission of the husbands. We all know that. We're not talking about that aspect. We are saying what is the best for the woman. The best will still remain what Hazrat Fatima has said. And no power can alter what Hazrat Fatima has said. That will continue to be the best. We're not talking about what is jaiz. We're talking about what is best. So she says, the same Hazrat Fatima who says, خَيْرٌ لِلْمَرْأَةِ أَن تَلْزَمَ قَعْرَ بَيْتِهَا. The best for the woman is to stay in the inner room, innermost room, inner room of her house. قَعْرُ الْبَيْتِ in Arabic means the inner area, the core, the inner area of the house. The same Hazrat Zahra who says that, we find the same Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha comes out of the house. Not once, several times. Why? To support the walayat of the wali and mawla of her time, Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The same Hazrat Zahra says, Masalul Imam, Masalul Kaaba, Tuta wala ta'ti. The parable, an example of the Imam is that of the Kaaba. Tuta wala ta'ti. People are obliged to go to the Kaaba. Kaaba is not obliged to go to the people, in other words. That's the parable and highness of the status of the Wali and Mawla and Imam of the time. The same Hazrat Zahra who says, best for a woman is to stay in the inner room of her house, herself comes out so many times. So we must understand the difference. When it is best for a woman to stay in the inner room of the house, and when it is best for the woman, because what Hazrat Zahra would do always in her life is what is best in the eyes of Allah. Isn't that right? Inna Allaha yaghzibu li ghadabi Fatima, Sahih Bukhari says, wa yarda li ridaha. Allah certainly becomes angry over the anger of Fatima and becomes pleased over the pleasure of Fatima. So she is the madhar of the ghadab and rida, the pleasure and anger of Allah, just like she is the madhar of all the rest of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when she is getting out of the house, this is the rida and pleasure of Allah. That's why she is getting out of the house. The same, being a woman, she still gets out. Not just gets out, runs a campaign, rallies the women of Medina, runs a campaign, goes door to door to rally the support for the wali of her time, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. That's how important it is, the issue of walayat. That's why I say in my speeches, there's a zero tolerance law, like it or not. Believe it or not, there's a zero tolerance law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. No one can mess around. In English we say, all roads lead to Rome. In Islam we say, all roads lead to the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Whether somebody likes it or not, whether somebody has heard about it or not, whether somebody buys it or not, these are irrelevant questions. The teachings and values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt are not left up to the mercy of people liking or disliking it. Isn't it right? Islam is the way it is. We are not here to reinvent the wheel. You do one thing, but do it right. Or don't do it. Allah doesn't stand in need of me and you, isn't it right? Allah, we stand in need of Allah. Ya ayyuhan nasu antumul fuqara'u ila Allah wallahu huwal ghani. Oh, you the humans, you are needy towards Allah. You are fuqara. Wallahu huwal ghani. He is the only one who is rich. So we find that's another issue of money. You find some people, the more they make the money, the more they get away from Islam. Ab jab paisa mera hai, to ab deen bhi mera chalega. That's the whole theme behind that. So we find that Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha is the madhar of isar and the fadail, madhar of all the fadail and manaqib. Every beautiful spiritual attribute is found in her personality. So we find when Imam Ali alayhi salam brings a poor miskin, a poor person in the city of Medina, and and he asks his wife about, is there any food so that we can serve this poor man, in other words. And look at the answer of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. And we are discussing about isar. You're giving, ignoring your own needs and giving. If you have $100 and you keep 20 bucks so you can buy food for yourself and give away $80 to somebody, that is so good. But this is not called isar, because you are still keeping something for your own needs, 20 bucks. But if you give away the entire amount to that mu'min person, you are ignoring what you need. I can do, a sinner like me can do 1,001 ta'wil and furnishing excuses left and right to justify it. And right? It's wajib to feed ourselves and so on and so forth. That's so, you know, we cannot go hungry, and protecting your life is wajib in Islam and so on and so forth. Isn't it right? So we should never open the door of ta'wilat. That's a very dangerous door. If it opens, it can lead us to way wrong acts. Ta'wilat are a very risky thing, you know. We never should allow ourselves to open that door. It can even possibly in the later stages lead a person to justify killing of the prophets, justify killing of the imams, killing of the awsiya. Isn't it right? When Muawiyah and his army killed Ammar ibn al-Yasir, and somebody came in the Battle of Siffin, and Ammar was on the side of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and somebody informed Muawiyah, you know what, don't you remember the hadith of Rasulullah? Prophet has said to Ammar, taqtuluka al-fi'atul baghiya, the rebellious group is going to kill you.
Prophet has said to Ammar already, and whole ummah knows about this hadith.
So anyone who is going to kill Ammar, that group, that cult has to be the rebellious cult. They have nothing to do with Islam, in other words. So now that Muawiyah's people killed Ammar in the Battle of Siffin, this person said to Muawiyah, your army, you people have killed Ammar, he is now dead. Now it is proven you are the rebellious cult. And he replies back doing ta'wil, furnishing excuses. Did I ask Ammar to come and fight against me? No, I never campaigned, I never asked him to come to fight. It was Ali who forced him to come, to brought him to fight against me. Ali brought him into the battlefield, not me. So Ali is responsible for the killing of Ammar, not me. So you can do the ta'wil of even the massacre of the people, isn't it right? Everything can be justified. That's not the way it works. So we need to understand that in the battle of, in the household of Isar, what happens when Imam Ali alayhi salam is bringing a guest, bringing a person who is muhtaj, and he asks his wife about the food that, you know, whether she has, in other words, or not, and look at the response of Hazrat Zahra. That's narrated in Biharul Anwar, and she replies back to Imam Ali alayhi salam, ma indana illa qutus sabiya. That means we don't have anything other than the food which is sufficient for a baby. As much food which can suffice for a baby. Ma indana illa qutus sabiya, walakinna nu'siru bihi dhaifana. But we are going to give do isar, that we are going to give preference to our guest upon ourselves. This is the family of Isar. This is how we find they have the Nuraniyat in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please say salawat. This is the Nuraniyat of Hazara. In the night of her marriage, she says to her husband, that is narrated in Nahjul Hayat. Nahjul Hayat is, let me say, that this is one of the great books which has been published in the recent years in Islamic Iran. Someone did a wonderful job. This alim compiled all the hadiths of Hazrat Fatima in one book, in alphabetical order. So everything that she said in her life, it is just like an encyclopedia of the hadith of Hazrat Zahra. You can pick up Nahjul Hayat and you can find everything that she said in the sequential order. Such a remarkable book. So in Nahjul Hayat, the book of the which compiles the hadith of Hazrat Zahra, you find this hadith is narrated on the night of her marriage. She says to her husband, Unshudukallah. فأنشدك الله أن قمت إلى الله إلى الصلاة فنعبد الله تعالى في هذه الليلة. That means I give qasam to you that, in other words, you stand for the prayers and we both do the ibadat of Allah in this night. This is how in the household of Nur the first night is spent in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much ibadat she used to do that her feet used to get swollen. Just like Rasulullah, you know, his feet used to get swollen with the ibadat. Because Prophet not only used to perform the prayers, but he used to love the prayers. There's a very fine line, brothers and sisters, between doing the prayers and loving the prayers. So he says, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. That means, میری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک نماز میں رکھی گئی ہے. It's a matter of peace and satisfaction for the Prophet. Prayers has been made a matter of peace and satisfaction for the Prophet. So that's how Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is. And that kind of lady is receiving this much pain and sorrow from the ummah of Rasulullah, that they are bringing fire to the house of the Prophet. The same house, a hold of Nubuwwat, for which the Ayatul Tathir belongs. The same house, the house of Taharat, the house of Ismat, the house of Nubuwat, the house of Walayat.
And now we find these Mala'een
are bringing the fire to the door of Hazrat Fatima. And when someone says to him that there is Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam inside, and he replies back, so what? So he doesn't care about who is inside.
And we find that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha has been crushed between the burning door and the wall, and she falls down in the pain and the injury that she has received.
And she kept so many things in her own and did not even had the chance to inform anybody, could not even tell anyone. So much pain that she went through. Subbat alayya masa'ibun law annaha.
Subbat alal ayyam sirna layaliya. So much masa'ib has befallen upon me
that if it had befallen on the days, it would have been converted into nights.
So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam is undergoing a pain, a situation, a huzn that no one actually can understand the pain of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Only he can understand, because no one has a wife like Hazrat Fatima. So how can anybody realize how much Imam Ali is, what pain he is going through? So now we find that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is asking, you know, that if you know that you call me, and if you can, if you hear my voice, then basically she says, this is mentioned to in the narration, she said to Asma bint Umais that wait for a while and then call me, and if I don't respond, understand that my soul has departed. In other words, and Asma bint Umais, this great lady of paradise, she did the same thing. She stood, kept staying outside the room of Hazrat Zahra. After he waited for a while, and then she calls Hazrat Zahra, and there is no response. And then she realized that the soul of Hazrat Zahra has departed the body of this great personality. And that's how, when the news reaches Imam Ali alayhi salam, when the news reaches Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they all come back towards their house. You know, the narration says, when these two great children, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, come to see their mother, one of the kids, you know, comes and grabs the feet of their mother, comes towards the feet of the mother. The other child comes towards the head of the mother. Obviously, they how much they love their mother. And this now they find the mother is already gone. The mother already departed. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Ali salam, when he's laying Hazrat Zahra into the grave, look at what he's saying. Bismillah wa billah wa ala millati Rasulillah. You know, and then after that, Imam, he finds the narration also informs us, two hands are coming from inside the grave. From inside the grave, two hands appeared similar to the hands of Rasulullah, and they take the body of Hazrat Fatima to put it comfortably inside the grave. And Imam Ali alayhi salam recites the ayat of Quran, minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. That means we learn in the light of the verse, we created you from the soil, wa fiha nu'idukum, we will return you into the soil, and from the soil we will resurrect you again. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, then he throws the soil and commands to throw some water, and his uncle Abbas comes and takes his hand to take him away from the grave. There were people from Banu Hashim present for Mawla to do the tasliyat and taziyat. There were some of the close ashab like Salman and Abi Dhar and Miqdad and Buraida al-Aslami who were present at that time for doing the tasliyat for Imam Ali alayhi salam, for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. But we find when the time comes for Mawla Imam Hussein, and when it comes to Karbala in Ashura, we find there is no one to support Imam Hussein alayhi salam. My Mawla is surrounded by the enemies and he is standing alone on the day of Ashura. Sayyid ibn Taus says, فَوَقَفَ لَيَسْتَرِيحَ سَعَةً. And Mawla Imam Hussein stopped to relax for a while. وَقَدْ ضَعُفَ مِنَ الْقِتَالِ, then he was weak from the fight. Obviously, Mawla had so many injuries. Some of the narrations say he had 1,110 injuries of the sword over his body. And we find that the armies retreated back. We find that Imam was surrounded from all the sides. Somebody is attacking Mawla Imam Hussein with a sword. Somebody is attacking Mawla Imam Hussein with the spear. And someone who has nothing to attack with, they are throwing rocks and stone over Mawla. So, فَأَصَابَهُ حَجَرٌ عَلَى جَبْهَتِهِ. I would like to say to Hazrat Zahra, please come and see the situation of Imam Hussein. We find that a stone came over the forehead of Imam Hussein and the blood came out of the forehead. فَأَخَذَ الثَّوْبُ لِيَمْسَحَ الدَّمُ عَنْ جَبْهَتِهِ. Mawla took the cloth to wipe the blood from his forehead. Is أَصَابَهُ سَهْمٌ مَسْمُومٌ ذُو ثَلَاثَ شُعَبٍ. That was the time when the three-pointed poisoned arrow was thrown towards the qalb and heart of Imam Hussein. And Mawla, when that arrow came, Imam, look at the courage and shuja'at of Imam Hussein. فَأَخْرَجَ السَّهْمَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ ظَهْرِهِ. Mawla took the arrow out from behind his back. فَخَرَجَ الدَّمْ كَأَنَّهُ مِيزَابٌ. Blood gushes out from him as if it's a spout of blood coming out. And then Mawla says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know that they are, in other words, they are killing a person. There is no one other than him. No one that is the son of the daughter of your prophet other than him. In other words, so obviously Mawla Imam Hussein is the only one remaining surrounded by the enemies. And then later on Zuljanah understood that Mawla can no longer stay on the back of the horse, so the Zuljanah kneels down to facilitate the Imam come over the Maidan of Karbala. We find that no brothers and sisters, his janazah, his body is not yet over the Maidan of Karbala because he still rests over the arrows. The body of Mawla is still raised over the arrows. And finally the time comes when Hazrat Zainab is standing over the Tilla-e Zainabiya and watching that time when Shimr is slaughtering Imam Hussein. وَشِمْرُ جَالِسٌ عَلَى صَدْرِهِ. Shimr is sitting over the chest of Imam Hussein and slaughtering him from behind the back of the neck. And Hazrat Zainab did not stay silent over the zulm of the Taghut. Instead she raised the voice and she says to Umar ibn Sa'd, يُقْتَلُ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتَ تَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ. In other words, Imam Hussein is being killed and you are watching him.
أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ أَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ilahi bihaqqi Zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirril mustawda'i fiha. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal muslimin wa akhdhul al-kuffar wal munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasr ad-din wa akhdhul man khadhal al-muslimin. Allahumma ansur wa ahfadh wa ayyid ulama'ana al-rabbani ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.